Welcome to the MUFG Global Markets FX Week Ahead podcast with Derek Halpeny, Head of Research, Global Markets EMEA and International Securities. It's Monday, 24th August 2020, and we're publishing this podcast on MUFGEMEA.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Stitcher. So Derek, what are the key themes at the start of this week for the FX financial markets?
Well, I think certainly from our perspective and what we highlighted in our FX weekly that was released on Friday is just posing the question and taking a look at the idea that possibly the dollar is reached a kind of an extreme for now, and that over the short term there is some potential for a correction stronger. Obviously, you know, the market has been pretty clear in terms of the trend of dollar weakness, and indeed when we look at our momentum indicators, you know, the euro over a three-month period has shown the strongest kind of gain in the G10 area, and we just feel that the drivers behind that are no longer as compelling as they were. And that might bring about some turnaround, certainly short-term momentum. And by that, we look at kind of three-week performance versus three-week averages over the last 12 months. And momentum short-term has definitely turned, and there is clear evidence in price action that, you know, the euro has reached a potential top, and therefore the prospect of some correction is definitely increasing. Some of the drivers of what drove euro stronger are beginning to change, as I've mentioned. And the obvious first point to mention is of course COVID, and the backdrop of COVID being far worse in the United States than in Europe. That's kind of beginning to lose credibility. And as we all know, that the COVID figures in Europe, while still quite low, the direction is a concern. And, you know, over the weekend, we've seen further evidence, Spain COVID cases up 8,000. But not just Spain, we're talking France, Germany, even Italy, where they've been very low. All the figures suggest that the COVID situation is worsening in Europe. And I think the longer this continues, the more the markets will start to concern or start to get concerned about the economic impact. On Friday, we had the first evidence in the official data. The high frequency data from Europe has been already telling us that the increasing evidence of COVID re-emerging is beginning to have an impact on flattening economic activity. And then the advanced PMIs on Friday was the first official data to really kind of illustrate that. So I think the macro backdrop in relation to COVID impacting the real economy, that's no longer the euro bullish story that it was even just a couple of weeks ago. And of course, while the figures in the US are still very high, again, the direction of travel is at least in a favorable direction in terms of the cases beginning to slow from very high levels. So that's one factor that I think, if it continues, will start to weigh more and more on euro dollar at these levels. Secondly is positioning data. And again, it's pretty incredible what's happened in the space of 6 weeks, just looking at leveraged accounts in the IMM weekly data. We've seen leveraged positioning going from a short euro position of about 30,000 contracts over a six-week period, turning to a long position of 30,000 contracts. And that's the biggest long position amongst leveraged names since April 2018. So, you know, other sectors of the IMM data has shown euro long positions in place for some period of time. But we tend to look at the leveraged positioning data more closely because, you know, that's obviously data that can turn more quickly. And now that sector is running a long euro position, if momentum is starting to fade, History tells us that the leverage sector loses patience more quickly, and we could see them start to liquidate and return to short euro, given the negative interest rate structure in Europe. So that's another risk to the downside. As I mentioned, the momentum indicators, the longer term momentum is still very positive for euro, but the shorter term momentum has turned. And again, that's an illustration that the market is beginning to look the other way. And then, you know, risk on, risk off correlations that we look at quite closely. And again, given the recovery fund that was put in place in Europe, the backdrop became more favorable fundamentally. And then, you know, euro started to move higher with risk on, and the dollar was moving weaker. But that correlation is fading. And it tells you that we're getting to stretched levels, whether it be in equity markets or in FX, and positioning could be getting stretched as well. And again, if we turn the other way, we would expect to the downside that correlation to come back. But certainly the data at the moment is telling us to the upside. The euro is no longer gaining the traction it was from the positive risk sentiment backdrop. So again, I think that's another indicator of potentially getting to stretch levels. So all in all, that's I guess the conclusion we made on Friday, that we may be starting to see the potential for a short term, I'd stress short term turn for the dollar stronger. I think that the medium to longer term backdrop for the dollar is still quite negative, but short term we see the scope for the dollar recovering somewhat.
And is there anything else we should look out for as the week unfolds, Derek?
Yeah, data-wise this week is pretty quiet, so there's nothing really to highlight on that side of the markets. The two obvious events this week that could have repercussions for the market, one less than the other. The lesser one is the Republican National Convention, which takes place starting today. We're going to have a whole host of Republicans speaking through to Thursday. I think from a markets perspective is what happens in the polls. And certainly the polling at the moment, while there was very high praise for Joe Biden's speech at the Democratic National Convention last week, polling doesn't suggest that he's made significant advances from where we are at the moment. Real Clear Politics, for example, has Biden over Trump by about 8 percentage points. So, you know, as this week unfolds, if the convention was to go well, and we could see some narrowing of that of that lead for Biden, the markets could become a little bit more nervous, because I think the worst case scenario for an election risk is a very close election that brings up question marks over, for example, postal voting and the way in which Trump has been speaking about the potential for fraudulent voting. If it's a close election, that whole scenario of there being no clear winner post-election could become a big issue for the market. So how that convention goes this week and whether it narrows the polling in favor of Biden could be important. The more immediate potential market impact will be from the Jackson Hole gathering, remotely, of course, on Thursday and Friday. And historically, this potentially can be quite a market mover. And of course, the markets are anticipating Powell, who speaks on Thursday, to give some more detailed information on the conclusions of the review of the monetary policy framework from the Federal Reserve. Again, though, I'm not convinced we're going to get a big market move this week. There is a risk, of course, but, you know, I think the markets are already well positioned for the Fed to give some kind of indication of a greater tolerance for inflation to the upside, moving towards inflation averaging, perhaps, but certainly giving a message that they want to see inflation above 2% for a period of time. But when you see real yields, 10-year real yield in the US at minus 1%, and with inflation expectations haven't recovered from the COVID crisis period, you know, it tells you that the markets are anticipating the Fed moving in that direction. But of course, the crux will be not their strategy, but what that does to the way in which the Fed responds, the reaction function, as we call it. And we'll only know over time the importance of the strategy review. And if the markets really start to sense a more aggressive monetary easing strategy in order to be consistent with the new framework on policy strategy, then the markets could start to react. But certainly, I think short term, while it's interesting to see what comes from Jackson Hole, I'd be surprised if there was any kind of big market reaction this week. But it's certainly a key event this week.
And then finally, Derek, what trade ideas are your research desk highlighting?
Yeah, just based on what I've said just now and the idea that perhaps the dollar sell-off is, well, it's certainly come to a pause and maybe we'll get some reversal in that. And our view that, you know, risk is looking stretched given, you know, the potential risk of the economic data starting to show more clearly the impact of the re-emergence of COVID. We're looking at some correction in risk now, nothing significant, but perhaps a bit more in FX. And your kind of textbook traditional go-to on risk on, risk off would be the Aussie yen cross. So we've established a short Aussie long Japanese yen to reflect some potential correction in the trends that we've had in recent weeks and the potential for the dollar and with that the yen crosses to recover somewhat. And in that kind of backdrop, I think Aussie yen could be due some correction to the downside. And then just more generally, you know, the dollar potentially recovering is something that we've been highlighting as well. But the new trade this week is short Australia dollar versus the Japanese yen.
Right, thanks very much for your insight, Derek. Have a great week and we'll speak to you next week.
Thanks, Una, and you.
Thank you for listening to this MUFG Global Markets podcast. Rate, review and subscribe and reach out to your MUFG sales rep for any further information. Check back next week for more insights from the Global Markets Research Team.